I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. And today on the podcast, I am so excited, sitting across the table from me, yes, in Sarasota, is Melinda Schmidt. For those of you who didn't follow me in my former life and have just found Faith Conversations, Melinda Schmidt is a dear friend. We co-hosted a radio program together for years, and we called Midday Connection, and Melinda is here in Florida visiting, and we are having a great time. Welcome, Melinda.
Yeah. Oh, this is great and kind of crazy.
Yes.
Here we are sitting around your kitchen table.
I know, not in Villa Park. So strange to be in Sarasota.
And not in Chicago in a studio.
Yeah.
But you've got a studio set up here.
I know. I realize I did, Michelle Van Loon was here recently, and we recorded in the Florida room, but somehow this felt easier.
It's around food.
Yeah.
Which, a lot of good eateries in yes, Sarasota.
That's true, yes.
Uh-huh. Hey, Anita, it wasn't long after I got off the plane the other day where I said, you know, I think I should interview you for your podcast because I think you're an interesting topic, having picked up and moved, and you did it in like a 3-month period. You're getting settled, and I just think it would be interesting to hear from your perspective what that experience has been like. So I've been nagging you and you're willing.
Or I'm desperate for a podcast now.
Actually, we should have asked people to send in questions maybe. Mm. Maybe that's for another time.
Yeah,
but hopefully I'll
always
think,
welcome for those.
The bad thing is I've been plying you with questions ever since I got here.
So we've been talking.
Just stop it. We've been talking.
We've been talking. Good conversation. A lot of interesting topics along the way.
Yeah. Well, so you've been here at this point when we're talking today. How many months or how long have you been here?
About 3 months. We're into April and about 3 months now, which in some ways it feels like a year. In other ways, it is like a breath. We've barely been here, but a lot has happened even in 3 months.
What I'm interested in knowing is when you were wheels down in Sarasota, you've bought this place,
mm-hmm.
your stuff is here now, you've moved in here. Like, what was your immediate thought or emotion? Like, oh my gosh, what have we done? Or,
oh yeah,
happy or exhausted or what?
Combination. The exhaustion in anyone who's moved, you know, and it's still fresh in your memory, the exhaustion of the packing up process, just the physicality of that. So you've got the physical exhaustion, but then add over onto that the emotional energy that is spent in saying goodbye to both people and place, especially mm-hmm. if you've been in a place for a long time. And Mike and I had been in the Chicago area for about 32 years. So, and for anyone in a faith community, so you're saying goodbye to that community as well as individual friends. And
maybe some tension in that. Like, did you feel like, are we doing the right thing? Yeah, we are doing the right thing. Are we doing the right thing?
Exactly what you just said. Exactly what you just said. You know, we were praying, trying to discern along the way. How do you discern? And, you know, here I am, a spiritual director. I've gone through training in discernment. But I'm telling you, when it's the rubber meets your road, when you're not talking with someone else about it, mm-hmm. it's difficult. That's probably an understatement, I guess.
I admire these people who just, although I kind of looked at you. I mean, you and Mike made a decision, honestly, in 3 months in 2016, you guys decided. You decluttered, you remodeled, you signed up with a realtor, you sold your house, you packed up, said your goodbyes, and moved.
I mean, I feel tired just hearing about it, and I still do feel tired. And some of that tiredness, I will even say, is residual from leaving my former job at Midday Connection, you know, and things that happened there, and then taking on another job, leaving that job, you know, it's
a long time
cumulative
job
stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the short job at Northern Seminary, which was wonderful, loved the people, but going there and leaving and feeling kind of bad, leaving in relatively short amount of time, and actually not even knowing, I realize now, not even knowing when I left there that we were going to make this move.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
That's a good word.
So how do you feel now? Like when you wake up in the morning and you're like, where am I? Oh yeah, I now live in Sarasota.
Yeah.
What's it feel like?
It feels good now. You know, back to your original comment or question about when we first got here, you know, the question of did we make a mistake? Oh, that thought went through my mind often. A couple of different things happened and our conversations with locals, and I thought, I said to Mike a couple of times, is it too late to go back?
Wow.
And which I've got to believe almost everyone does that.
Yeah, I kind of wonder.
I wonder. I mean, what's I think this? Things happen because it's a big move. And we most often, you're moving toward something, toward a job. I'll say that, okay? We were not moving toward employment. And so
what were you moving
mix
toward?
Up in that being, you know, born and raised and evangelical and life has got to be so purpose filled, right? You know, those same messages. Mm-hmm. And while I do believe, number one, I think your health is better if you are, you know, investing your life in some way, but there also is nothing wrong with slowing down as you get older. I don't feel old at all. I'm still in my 50s. I'm on the other side of 55, closing in on 57. So, but also realizing I was not moving toward a job. Mike had left a longtime pastoral position, you know, on sort of sabbatical, taking a rest. He needs a rest, but not moving here for another job while he will look for and probably be engaged in some kind of part-time work.
So what drew you here?
Well,
why are you here?
Why are we here? You know, my parents live in Sarasota. My dad was a pastor. He's been retired 24 plus years now. Didn't live the majority of his life outside of Sarasota. Came back here in his 60s to retire. His siblings never left, so he still has family here. So my parents are here, and my dad's health is not good, and I had this sense, kind of this nagging sense that maybe it was time to live near them. I've not lived near them since I was 15, actually, because I went away to high school, and just had this sense, but it wasn't even an overwhelming sense. But Mike had been down here, had seen the area, and he really was done with shoveling snow. You know, he's got a couple of bad knees, and when the cold weather hits, he feels it. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say that his knees feel, I don't know what the percentage is, but a very high percent of better living here, just in general, physically. And I would agree with that, too, physically. Just, yeah.
Warmer climate.
Warmer climate. Mm-hmm. Just good. So we started thinking, okay, where do we go if we, you know, retire? And honestly, a lot of it was a financial decision as well. We felt like we couldn't remain in Chicago not employed and didn't see anything that was really visible to us. And Mike really recognized, and I'm grateful that he did, that he needed a rest and so couldn't be probably just sitting and resting there paying Chicago taxes, mortgage taxes, and other things. And so we did start looking for a place that we thought we could live and breathe financially while we were looking for part-time employment and all that stuff.
Well, here's something I've said to you a few times since I've been here.
Yeah.
You could have hired snow shovelers. You could have lived 40 miles from Chicago, and it would have been more affordable. I'm just struck by this sense that there was something deeper that was like, we're ready to move on. And maybe you couldn't even access that.
I don't think we could.
There was something inside that these were the presenting situations, finances, this or that. if you loved everything about it, it felt like your soul wanted to remain there, you can make it work, but you were ready to go. And
sometimes you're right.
We don't know that.
I don't think we did know that. I think this is interesting because this is an ongoing conversation, you know, with little blurbs of conversation that Mike and I have in an ongoing manner about this move, because especially because it's still so fresh. And I've asked him that again just recently, and he said, yeah, done with cold weather. So moving within a 40-mile radius, even though we loved Chicago, that was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. We looked at, because there are other, as you said, there are other places that are would be affordable outside of that larger metropolitan area, but still near enough by to access that and to still connect with friends. Though I recognize that even when you're living an hour away, that seems manageable. You don't tend to get together you once did.
Well, look how close we live to Chicago, and we
going down or that's true. So yes, and I think that was an internal nudge from God. I think God said, "I've got a different place for you." It was hard for me to envision a better place
because you don't know what's at the other end.
Exactly.
So this idea of change and something drawing you in your own awareness, and then as people who've connected to God.
And then you've got to be joint in the decision, too. That's the other thing. Two-party, you know, I'm thinking that's a piece of it. Thankfully, we were.
So yourself, your spouse, God's place in that story. Mm-hmm. And yet at the other end, what in the world? What?
Yeah, not knowing.
So, yeah, the not knowing.
The not knowing.
No certainty.
You know, and I'll say this, we moved into a 55-plus community. So here's Mike and I who love diversity, age diversity, as well as ethnic diversity. We've moved to a community that has no age diversity, and to a city that has little ethnic diversity. So these have been some challenges that we are thinking about and thinking about how we can engage with where we are.
Yeah, so not perfection at the other end necessarily, but that doesn't cancel out, the big adventure.
Yes, and it has been a big adventure.
Yeah.
And I think it's been interesting because I think there's not only a reinvention of your life, I will say there's a reinvention of your marriage. You know, so I'm talking about married. As a single, I think you would go through some other issues and just have to get to know yourself a little bit more when you make a dramatic change like this. But I'll talk marriage here. All of a sudden, Mike and I are at home together all the time.
Yeah, I hear this.
It's like, I love you.
I hear this from others.
I love you, but I've got to go out for a couple hours to a Starbucks, maybe like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, and also, you're not settled in a faith community. That wasn't something that was important for us. So we have to agree on where we decide to go visit and what we want to move toward. You know, he was in a pastoral role before. I was in a Christian leadership role, probably was pastoral, but I wasn't a pastoral pastor on staff somewhere. So all of that, looking at that, and there's some of, even at this age, there is plenty of figuring out your own self again, because different things get awakened in you that, oh, didn't know that was there. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I was wondering what spiritual things have kind of bubbled up. Like you talked about the marriage relationship kind of being redefined. Spiritually, has there been some new defining or a continuation in this space?
I'll say I have needed some personal healing, spiritual healing, and I'll speak for myself here. Mike's not here, so I won't necessarily speak for him on the spiritual side. But I needed some spiritual healing. I didn't know what that would look like, and I, to be perfectly honest, the sunshine has been a part of that spiritual healing.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
We are whole beings, you know? And I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized, you know, I grew up in a stream of faith that very much separated the body from the soul and even body from mind, all of this. We're whole beings. And so there's a part of the physical nature of the space that we're in here where there is warm weather and sunshine. And I've just found myself warming up spiritually just from the
being
the,
energized
the
by
warm,
the
warm space. Yeah, it's been
the climate
fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. My heart and soul have warmed to re-engaging with God in a new way. Yeah.
Hmm.
So the sunshine honestly has been a piece of it. And I think choice, yeah.
And even this new space maybe has been a place, your home, mm-hmm. finding a faith community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that.
Something I've wondered about since I got here is your ability to pull this off.
I'm wondering as well.
Yesterday we were at the Ringling, what is that?
The Ringling Museum. Art Museum
and the grounds. It's the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yeah, that's
family.
The Ringling.
So they have a couple buildings that are around the circus memorabilia. We didn't go there.
No. Mm-hmm.
But they have other buildings of Asian art, Renaissance art, the Dutch masters. Mm-hmm. They have a Rembrandt here.
Mm-hmm. And then they have their home that's their estate home. It's called Cot Design. I'm sure.
House of John or something. Oh my gosh, that was fabulous.
Yeah.
A marble dock where they moored
a terrace.
Their yacht.
Huge. Yes,
it was
exactly.
Beautiful. Okay, one of the places that we went to, one of the spots where they had a showing. What do you call it? An installation.
Yes, yes.
It was called Pathless Woods.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay, this is by Ann Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
She was an architect and theater production designer. She has synesthesia, meaning that her sensory perceptions overlap. When she hears sound, she sees color.
Hmm.
So she's put that into art experiences. And there's an interactive installation where we were invited to walk through a forest of ribbons that were multicolored. And there's a multimedia projection and there's some music. And so everybody experiences it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yesterday you had been in it before.
Yes.
What was it like the first time you went into that installation, Pathless Woods? Because we opened some doors and then imagine, I should describe this better, ribbons hanging.
Yeah, hanging from the ceiling or
really high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
All different colors.
And probably within a half an inch of each other. So,
yeah.
You know, close together.
And each ribbon is what, half an inch?
Yeah, I bet
quarter,
it is.
Half inch?
Quarter to half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to the point where we could not see each other in there. You can't see other people. So a lot of unknown.
Yeah, the further in you go,
and
the less.
Hearing music, and there's stuff going on. What was it like for you the first time?
Well, what was interesting to me is that I saw you take a picture of the description.
Yeah.
I did that the first time I went. And so what was interesting to me is as I read the description, and you read a little bit about the installation.
Yeah.
As I read the description, the first time I went through, I think it says there's a certain joy in walking the path that others do not, or a pleasure in the pathless woods. Well, and I certainly started thinking about what's felt like pathless, though we were very much on a distinct path to get here. But I remember feeling that phrases from this description jumped out at me when I first came. I stood there and looked at it and watched you take a picture, and I thought, nothing jumps out at me now to this time. It jumped out at me because I still felt very pathless when we first went. Like we were here, we'd followed a path to this place, but once here, now what? That's where I felt very pathless. And I felt like I was much more engaged. This time, it was just fun walking through the ribbons and fun watching you see this and experience it.
Well, when I went in, I was like...
a little claustrophobic feeling.
Well, I heard another couple came in, and I heard one of them say, claustrophobic. And I said, yeah. I kind of wanted to leave. Like I'm not a person that can do 3D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I have to go. I'm going to do this. And I thought, I wonder what it was like. I'm thinking of personalities.
Yeah.
Did you just dive into that? Because I kind of see you as that kind of person.
Yeah.
I am not that kind of person. So does, how does personality play into like even the this big pathless move that you've made?
I think I'm grateful this side of it. I'm grateful for the kind of personality that I have.
You're a doer.
I'm a doer, and I have a certain amount of drive to
You're
get something done.
You're a three on the Enneagram. Yeah. Producer. Mm-hmm. Do the work.
I can do that. Yeah. I don't really enjoy living into that like I once did. That was my life, and I enjoyed that.
Wait, you enjoyed what?
Living into that. That I enjoyed being that driven
working.
Person, producing, mm-hmm. And diving in. I don't have that same sense or feel that about myself now, but I can rise to an occasion when I have to get something done. And, you know,
but when you walked into this installation the first time, did you feel claustrophobic?
No.
You were unafraid and you went in there.
Yeah, I went in and I just like parted the waters with my hands.
Even this time,
like pushing it aside and going, wow, this is cool.
I'm so jealous.
Well, but I think,
I had to get acclimated. I had to get comfortable with it.
Which is all good. It's all fine. Yeah. But,
so, you know, what a metaphor, though, for these kind of life-changing experiences.
Yeah.
We're going to look at these things differently. What helped me is that I knew you'd been in it before, and this was supposed to be fun, and this was going to be so we can lean into each other, I guess I'm saying.
You can preach that all day.
Even at a distance, because you didn't have friends here at the other end waiting for you to help. You had family.
Yes.
I don't know. I just was kind of interested yesterday. I thought, I want to ask Anita how she walked into this. And I'll bet she just did it with gusto. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here.
Well, and I thought that was an interesting observation too. And I do think that we're given a certain measure of what, I don't know, grace or something from God to stay the course and get this move done. I was hurting physically. I had a hip that had just was killing me. And yet I survived it. And there are a lot of people that, you know, helped with packing pods and things like that. But you come down here, and you know, we hired people to unpack it all. Not unpack the house, that would have been nice, but put the boxes in the house. Mm-hmm. From there, we had to do the unpacking. But I knew I wasn't on a timetable then. Even though you don't want the chaos around you forever, you didn't have. In 3 days, the moving pods come. I didn't have that anymore. I had space to unpack. Yeah. But I think we're given what we need when we need it. I do think there's special graces that come
based
along.
Based on my experience with the Pathless Woods
exhibit,
I don't think I'm a very good candidate for a major move. Or I'm going to have some other things in place.
or something like that for you will come slower. There'll be more time to get used to an idea or whatever, you know. I mean, it's God knows all that
different
stuff.
For everyone.
Different for everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, boomers are a large percentage of the population in this country.
Yeah.
So a lot of these transitions are going to be going on for many of us. And I know the process, you know, cliche, different for everybody. I mean, we could have a bunch of people around this table sharing their experiences.
Right.
What's been a high and a low for you? You know, you mentioned the sun and the weather.
Of
course, you haven't done summer in Florida yet.
No, we haven't. That might be the low. You know, I think a high. Well, let me.
Let me say something about that. The humidity, summer heat. I mean, everybody talks about that in Florida.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do that. Some people relate to it better than others. But so again, this idea of, you know, not perfection.
Yeah. Yeah. And
not perfection.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
You know,
That's good.
I think of Rob Bell, who
That's
moved
good.
To California, tried to start up, reinvent himself with his wife. And that's coming along in time.
Right.
You do have to have a long view in this.
I think you really, really do. And I love that. Not perfection, because I think it's easy for us. And I know I looked at this way. I think I was so shocked the first couple of weeks that a couple of things happened, and I'll, you know, share a little bit, but that made me go, is it too late to go back?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the physical move, but Chicago to a smaller town in the South okay, this is north, south, big town, small town. There are huge differences that come up that that honestly had not crossed my mind. They probably had mics, and thankfully he just never said it out loud to me.
Yeah, cultural differences.
Cultural differences, that's the word. So depending on where, you know, what kind of moves people make, there are always cultural differences. Even when you go to a new workplace, there are cultural mm-hmm. differences. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a good point, because, you know, we're talking about you making a major move, but you're so right. I mean, anybody listening to us today could be saying, oh yeah, starting a new job, new marriage, getting out of a marriage, you know, health stuff mm-hmm. with themselves mm-hmm. or somebody else. I mean, we're always facing this stuff. And so many of us have had charmed lives, I think.
That's,
you know, that American way of life was wonderfully ours for a while, where everything kind of went our way. And then when there's this big change, it's like, boom.
Right.
Now what?
Yeah. And it kind of, I think it does kind of hit you in the face. Yeah. So you've got the, both of those things.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Who am I and where am I going? And those kinds of questions aren't answered overnight. Those are process-oriented mm-hmm. questions. It takes time of introspection, and you have to choose to make that time, because you can just kind of bluster through and forge forward and not engage with those questions. Mm-hmm. I've seen people
choice
do that.
A, denial, and go mm-hmm. forward. Certainly a nice choice.
Mm-hmm. Can't for a while, but eventually I think you've got to, I feel better eventually addressing mm-hmm. those kinds of things, but I need breaks from it, in and out, you know. So high point, low point. Low point, arriving here and feeling this sense of prejudice toward where we came from. Mm. Also this sense that, wow.
You felt it from other people here?
Yeah, yes, felt it from other people, meaning, oh, you came from there. It's just all filled with violence. And it made me realize that people see just little snippets of the news mm-hmm. and that's what they believe about a whole
so some judgment
city.
About judgment. Where you came from.
Big judgment mm-hmm. and I would even say racial prejudice, and I had to take a deep breath and go, oh, we are in the South. I sometimes don't think Florida's the South. I know better. I think the reason I think not is because there are many transplants here. Mm-hmm. This is still the South, and there's still that culture, and I have had to kind of come face to face with that. And this has given Mike and I a great opportunity for conversations. And I think Mike has done especially
with others,
well, with others about where we've come from, about issues of race and class mm-hmm. and, you know, so like, okay, you start.
Were you hoping that, like, I'm going to come down there and everything's just like, hello, everybody,
yes.
I'm here. And
not only hoping, that's what I thought.
Going to have a great time.
It would be. So mm-hmm. it was beyond hope. It's like, oh, that's what it will be. It hadn't dawned on me.
You know, I think of our friend, and I want to get to the high too, but I think of our friend Sybil Towner, who,
yes.
you know, she and Dick, you know, pulled up and they go and put this like
retreat center together
right? in Indiana. But she says something like she gave herself the first year to be depressed.
Yeah.
And said, I was.
Yeah.
You know, and just gave herself space.
She said, she made a statement that I have hung on to. I remember her talking about that and giving herself space and saying that depression piece. And she said, in all good choices, good changes, there is still loss. Because I think, and my personality is more, oh, this is good, good, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, whoops, wait. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's loss, loss, loss. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I look at. And that was probably good and helpful in forging forward and doing it.
We really want heaven on earth, don't we?
Oh, we do.
Doggone it.
We do.
You think the Sunshine State.
Yeah, I know.
It's got to be
close to heaven. And the sunshine is pretty great. But yes, all the things that you just talked about. There are a number of highs, but one of them that I will mention that is probably a more tied to my soul that I just feel like there have been a few things that we have said to each other. Oh, God did go before us, and he planted neighbors right next to us who, he's a former pastor, still involved in ministry, but a broad thinker and just a wonderful couple who, so in a 55 plus community, you have a lot of snowbirds when you're in Florida. So you've got a lot of people that are here 6 months and gone. Mm-hmm. The people right next door are here year round like we are. Mm. Well, what a gift. Not just...
Otherwise, you're unplugging these relationships.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I really like you. Oh, see you in 6 months. Really? Mm. And I had the thought that, that sounds like a great life. I'd like to go back north for, 3 months, 5 months. And while it financially probably was not a possibility, we started talking and I said, wow, I want to really plug in here. And while I can, I could see us going for a month, but that's more like a normal putting all your vacation mm-hmm. together. That's what my dad did. He always took a month in the mm-hmm. summer. So, but that's not unplugging from an area. I wanted to plug in and really, this is
so
our
neighbors
home.
Are here.
So they're here year round. Mm-hmm. And they said something. They've moved down here 16, 17 years ago. And they said, we were depressed the first couple of years.
Huh.
Well, I teared up. I was, I had to grab for Kleenex and that was the best thing they
because
ever could have said
adjustment.
To me. It was an adjustment and I was
Did
feeling
they
a little depressed.
Did they choose to come here or was it?
Yes. No, yeah. They chose to come here and, but just didn't anticipate some of the same things that, mm-hmm. We're facing.
Change.
So that's one high that I just felt was a huge gift from God. Mm-hmm. And they have really kind of folded us in, invited us to their family, the Super Bowl party at their daughter's house who lives here mm-hmm. and, have had us over, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That's wonderful. But other highs have been exploring together with Mike, exploring Sarasota. While my parents lived here for last 24 years, I would come here and visit them. We would go to the pool here in the community and just sit at home, play games, eat at home. We wouldn't go out and adventure around. The biggest adventure was going with my mom to the local mall to give my opinion on something she was buying, that was it. So I didn't know really all about Sarasota and what was here. And thankfully, what is here is so much fun and interesting
and
enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, you've been a great
tour guide. Oh. We've enjoyed seeing Sarasota through the eyes of people that we've been able to show around too and see, what they think of it or make of it. It's very artistic community. There is an arts community within the broader community.
It's kind of creative everywhere around here.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
And that
seems a value of the city of Sarasota.
Yes.
Didn't see that coming. And good food and eateries.
Yes.
And
I feel like that's just lighting my soul up as well.
Good eats and art. Can't beat it.
No, you can't. Yes. Except you put those three together. So
you need to work for the Chamber of Commerce.
I know. You said that. And I had been thinking that. Like, I wonder. Because I could talk all day about the place.
Be a good brand ambassador. Yes. Okay. So high is the neighbors.
Yes.
That you got.
Mm-hmm.
What else? You said there were a few.
Well, I was just thinking, you and I have talked a little bit about this. I've even had a little bit of a shift in my view of God since I've come here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they look at God differently in Florida?
No.
Or
but
you do?
But you, yeah, I did. I don't know how much we want to get into this or not here.
Oh, let's get into it.
But I've realized I'm here in this beautiful place. I thought, I realized my view of God was a very punitive God.
Mm.
I can't believe God... my view of God, the punitive God, would allow me to move here and live in this beautiful place and that we can afford to live here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been interesting. I've been kind of
I've
thinking about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
I bet it's not raised
in certain denominations or strains.
You're more fundamentalist kind of background or whatever. Yeah.
God is more... angry, more has his notepad.
Yeah.
Are you measuring up and not as interested maybe in beauty or your happiness? After all, happiness is for heaven, right? Not earth?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That kind of stuff?
Exactly. All of that. Yeah. All of that.
So for you, accepting that you are getting to live this,
mm-hmm.
I can see it's emotional for you.
Yeah, it is. Well, and because I also find myself, and I think this is more of explaining to myself, but I find myself wanting to say to someone else, well, it's not all good. There are difficult things about, there is some punitive stuff here.
Yeah,
I sort of was right, but no. No, I really need to, I am continuing to kind of unravel some of that stuff about my view of
God. Isn't it interesting how in our faith, for some of us, it's like there's this spot where you die. And then on the other side of that, that, you know, that stoplight is joy.
Yeah.
But it's either or.
Right,
and
yeah.
You don't want to have that here, although Jesus said, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
You don't want to have that here. You got to wait till you expire, and then that's to be yours. You don't want to have any mixing sometimes.
Yeah, and I think I've begun unraveling some of this and having conversations with Mike, too. What that's led to are deeper conversations about how all these years I've read the Bible, too. Mm. And that opens up, you know, whole other conversations.
So this move has kind of turned you on in new ways to yourself, your faith. I get that.
And
more now.
And you know this, Melinda, I have a bracelet and I still wear it a lot that says, remember to play. Mm-hmm. Because I tend to be more purpose-driven and just driven and action-oriented, whatever, but not necessarily toward play. So I'm learning to play. And that's not a bad thing. And I'm hesitating to say this. I actually am enjoying playing.
Mm-hmm. But you also have time. I mean, you're doing spiritual direction. You're doing your podcast. Mm-hmm. So you have the benefit of time.
And and Mike has a little more time. Like every once in a while when he'll head to the pool and I can't, I'm like, oh, I need to edit the podcast, or I've got to, you know.
Yeah, but you've got space.
But still, I absolutely have space.
If you were working.
Yes.
But still, there's more. You're exploring a new area.
Yes.
You're exploring, period.
Yes, that's the way to put it.
Yeah.
And loving that exploration process. And I'm grateful to have a partner who's also an explorer. You know, I think probably even more than I am. I know even more than I am, but that I've been super happy to go along for the ride. Happy to, you know, he'll say, hey, let's head out here. Like, yeah, let's do that. And I'm also seeing, I've got a list a mile long of places and things we have not yet explored. And I think, wow, we've only been here 3 months. You know, sometimes I'll say 12 weeks, which sounds even shorter. And also realizing we don't have to do it all in a day. But wow.
You seem happy here.
Yeah. And I realize also related to my faith that I can feel guilty to feel happy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, it's just bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, I am happy and I am grateful and didn't know I would be, but here I am. And yeah.
So you're moving from picturing God sitting over there in that corner of your great room here, being irritated that you're happy, to seeing pleasure.
That he's happy right along with me.
Yeah.
He's happy.
Well,
He's going on the adventure with us.
Yeah.
He's out looking at these things. He is delighting in our delight.
Well, now I'm kind of thinking, like, what about the rest of us that are still living where we live and kind of doing life, you know?
Yes.
I don't know what to say about that.
And I think, and while you look at this, it's, you know, it's not like every second of every day is perfection. Your comment at the beginning was, we don't ever move. It's not perfect. I'm talking about great things, but there are still new issues that I'm working through. And I'm living across kitty corner, across the street from my aging parents and work, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
But I wonder if some principles are like just thinking about becoming an explorer, shaking things up where we are, getting out of a rut or routine, and even asking God, is there happiness for me where I am?
I think that's really important.
And we can't guarantee an answer on that. I mean,
I've even said to Mike, wow, I wonder what I hadn't explored in Chicago. I talk about it. It's this great place and we will miss it. We'll see a Chicago scene on some television show and go, oh, I miss it. What is it that we miss? And we've kind of talked through that. Realizing largely it's the people. Yes, that
Portillo's.
That's yes. Oh, there's one down here now.
Are you serious?
About an hour away. I will be going when I need a Portillo's fix. Maybe even 50 minutes, I think. Yeah. There are two actually, one in Tampa and one in Brandon. They're both on Close.
You really need to work for the Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. Okay, so the people.
Yeah.
And you're having to have faith that you're going to find people here.
Yeah.
Because you have talked to me about being lonely here.
So I'm an introvert. I love my alone time. And it had been a long while since I'd actually felt loneliness. And and I realized, wow, I was lonely. And when you move to some place, it's one thing as you get to know people and see people and like up at the pool, oh, I recognize you. I know your name now. But there's not a real knowing. You're not somewhere where you know people deeply and others know you deeply. And that just takes time and energy.
And I've heard sometimes it's hard to break into groups. You know, the people have established.
They have their own
although you
groups.
Live in a transient area.
I think that helps here, but I
And does
get
the
that.
Church community, will that help maybe?
I think it already has helped. We've chosen to start getting involved. We found a church community. We parked ourselves in one particular church for a while, and that was the right thing to do for a while. It was a wonderful space to sit in. It was this wonderful Episcopal church, great liturgy, and just having that wash over us was terrific. And when we started, we thought that's where we might end up, actually. And we tried another place, and I'm kind of surprised that we only tried one other place, and it was super evident this was our home.
So kind of keep trying.
But keep trying.
But again, that exploring.
Absolutely. You have to explore and keep trying. And realize that for an introvert, you can't get discouraged. You've got to kind of keep extending, which is harder for an introvert. I have enough extroverted bars in me that I can extend because I know what I need. It's like, oh, I need this. I will, keep extending, keep looking for this and these kind of relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's been great. And
it sounds like you're shaking off or processing old beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's raised some of those beliefs to the surface, and you're processing them with Mike.
Yeah. And I'll add in there processing some of them with my son, who's also kind of shaking things up. He's about to get married. And so there have been a lot of those kind of conversations that have happened there too with him. Mm-hmm. They're helpful in this whole process.
So thumbs up on all this?
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, I'm tired, but I'm trying, but I am,
but you seem
but
happy,
but I'm happy. Yeah. And it's right. And it's okay
you
to be tired.
You seem like a little kid. Like we go and look for these places. Like yesterday we went to a place. It's a former train station in Kentwood, Indiana that they dismantled and brought to Sarasota and put together again. We met this waitress that had a bunch of ideas. You were like a kid in a candy shop. I watch you asking people.
Yeah. And you I ask almost
where to
everyone,
go, what to do?
Are you a native? Mm-hmm. It's been fun. I've heard so many stories, and I have not yet had someone say, I have met a couple of native Sarasotans, not a lot, a couple of native Floridians, many who are transplants, some, it's 3 years, some it's 30 years. Every one of them, I said, oh, would you do it again? Every one of them in a heartbeat. And that's that early on was super encouraging to me. I needed that.
Like that.
Yeah, I needed that.
Yeah.
And I do feel like a kid.
It's the people that stayed, and they made life. And
I'll say this. My inner kid has come out. I've stuffed my inner kid my entire life.
Yeah.
I've been told to
stuff
it.
When I say a kid in a candy shop, you do look like that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Right. Where did she come from?
Who is this person?
I feel it.
What about, I have to ask you this. You know how evangelicals are often like, don't make a move unless God is leading you. Heaven forbid we would lead ourselves or have an idea. Any thought on that? Like, just sort of this balance of, as people who follow God,
Well, and we grew up in the stream, there's one perfect will.
Yeah.
God's good.
And so if you're depressed or you have a hard time with something.
Oh, it must not have been God's will.
Yeah.
No.
Or God leading. It's
no.
Like, are we allowed to? I always remember Blue Like Jazz.
Yeah. Donald Miller.
Donald Miller, yeah. Saying, a dad will say to his kid, here's a piece of paper, draw something you like. but we don't like to think of God. I remember talking about that at our former place of employment on a committee I was on. I'm like, no. You know, some liked it, some didn't. That idea is kind of intriguing to me. Where is that integration of drawing the picture with some guidance? Or do we need the guidance? Or sometimes do we need the guidance? And others, we just draw the picture.
I love that. That's a great illustration. And I think that sometimes it's very clear. Well, when it's not, what do you do? Then,
Are you... I don't know what to draw.
Yeah, I don't know what to draw.
I don't know what colors
But
I
you know
like,
what? Or... I know the character of God. I know God's a good and loving God. We're making the best. He's given me a good mind. He's, use your good mind. We did some research and this seemed like a place that would work for us. And we did not have, big, clear, like, go here, that sense. But we knew that...
things were coming together. Yeah. But I remember, too, told me that Mike said that if it didn't work...
Oh, yeah. He did say, I loved this. This was great comfort to me. He says, you know what? If we get there and we hate it, we could move back or we could move somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
That was huge comfort. And I, you know what? Honestly, the Holy Spirit is within us. God goes with us. Mm-hmm. I think we're so often looking for the external God message, the lightning bolt. God goes with us. Mm-hmm. We trust God. There's an element that God trusts us as well.
Well, there's not a lot of emphasis I haven't found in evangelicalism on God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Yes, thank you.
As much as our charismatic friends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're not used to really believing that what Jesus said, I'm leaving part of me
with you. Yes.
And it's in you. And we're not, I don't feel very knowledgeable often about that synergy.
Yeah. So, and I think that's something we really need to tap into and realize.
Yeah. Wow. I'm realizing we could have another hours long conversation on the street the other day.
Yep.
Over my Cubano sandwich, which was delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I had a good
pastrami sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Good
and
food.
And apple strudel.
But probably we should
I always
wrap
remember
it up.
The dessert, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
I'm a dessert queen.
We've got some good ones. Yeah, but anyway, right. Probably time to move on. We're either doing the pool or a manicure.
All and sounds
this
good.
Was on
or
our
both.
List. Yeah, all the
or
above.
Or both.
And good eats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always end by saying I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations, but this is... been a Melinda Faith conversation.
I'm just
deal.
Asking the
great.
Questions.
I loved it.
You're telling us about
doing
your
the heavy
experience.
Lifting.
Thanks
so
for
thank
for
you
for doing it.
This is good. Well, thanks everybody. This is Faith Conversations.